On Wednesday, Georgia Democrat Stacey Abrams announced via Twitter that she would once again seek the office of the governor of Georgia.
Because opportunity and success in Georgia shouldn't be determined by your zip code, background, or access to power.
In her first run in 2018, Abrams narrowly lost to the current governor, Brian Kemp, by 55,000 votes. I mean, it's an election that drew almost 4 million ballots. And she will likely face him again in the 2022 midterm elections if Kemp wins the Republican nomination in the spring. Now, Abrams is widely credited for registering thousands of new young voters and voters of color, helping Joe Biden win the state in the 2020 presidential election, turning Georgia blue in a presidential election for the first time since 1992, and contributing to Democrats capturing the Senate with the runoff elections of Georgia Democrats Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff. With the upcoming midterm elections, all eyes will be on Georgia once again. But the political landscape has changed a bit since 2018. So what will this mean for Abrams' campaign? Joining me now is Delilah Ago-Otohili, who is field director for Stacey Abrams' 2018 gubernatorial campaign and executive director of the Texas Future Project. Welcome to the show, Delilah.
Thanks so much for having me, Melissa.
All right, let's start with just simply with the announcement. Do you have a strong sense of the motivation that Abrams has for running again?
Yeah, you know, I think it's clear that she's really just running to finish what she started so long ago, well before 2018, something that obviously she came close to finishing in 2018. And this is what she's been working towards with all that she's been doing for the people of Georgia these last 3 years since that election, from the work to expanding voting rights to increasing access to COVID-19 vaccines. She's really been gearing up for this race. And I think, you know, it's clear that she's running to be the leader that Georgians need and will be focused on expanding access to healthcare, making sure folks have access to jobs and quality education. So she really just wants to step up for her state, for Georgia.
I mean, one of the key insights that's come out of Abrams' work, not only in terms of running the campaign, but certainly in the organizations that she stood up both before and after the 2018 gubernatorial race, has been this insight of getting registered, engaged, and mobilized all of these Georgians who were simply not part of the electoral system. That has certainly changed the political landscape, but at the same time, there are also now new voting restrictions in Georgia. I'm wondering, as she's kind of looking at the calculus, she's good at the math, right? Kind of looking at those numbers between sort of the new folks brought in, but also the realities of restrictions. Is it going to be a harder race, less on the like actual insights of the race, but more on just like who's even available and able to vote?
That's a great question. I think that the restrictions don't really change the work that has to be done to make sure that folks know about elections and turn out for elections and take part in the electoral process. So every get out the vote effort campaign is really just about meeting voters where they are. So regardless of the new restrictions, that tedious work still has to happen. And, you know, I think the 2022 election will not be the first time we're working against voter suppression or new restrictions with voting laws. But I do think that we'll probably see more emphasis on voter education, probably some work around alleviating any like hesitancy around some of the new barriers, particularly in regards to vote by mail. And I also think we'll probably see more robust election protection programs that start doing outreach earlier so that folks know that they have options and folks to call if there are ever problems at the polls. So the new laws definitely bring new challenges that we'll have to work around, but I think that the work will still look the same.
Although this is likely to be a rematch between Kemp and Abrams, there's also some real differences in how both Kemp and Abrams are received within their national party at this point. We have Trump saying he's not going to back Kemp, so maybe Kemp won't even win the Republican nomination. But I'm also wondering if Abrams has a new kind of position within the Democratic Party, given her role in delivering Georgia to Biden and to the Democrats in this past election season, and if that might actually lead to more resources from the National Party.
You know, Stacey's profile today is definitely not what it was when she was running for governor in 2018. And the power and influence she has today looks a lot different. I do think that that will change the amount of resources that come in for 2022, whether that's from the National Party, whether that's from grassroots supporters, but this elevated profile, right, just provides the opportunity for more resources to run bigger, more robust campaigns to reach all the voters across the state.
As field director back in 2018, I'm just wondering, it's one thing to have this sort of 1,000-foot view of how Abrams is received. I was recently with her at an event in North Carolina, and to see sort of, you know, how North Carolinians, who, to be honest, at an event like that are probably mostly Democrats, you know, mostly supporters. These are folks who like, paid a little bit of money to come out and see her speak. But I'm wondering, as field directors, you all are knocking on doors of ordinary Georgians across the state. What kinds of things people say about Stacey Abrams? How is she seen and understood in the state?
Yeah, people love Stacey in Georgia. I remember, Melissa, actually once I took a trip somewhere in the middle of the campaign, came back, grabbed an Uber from the airport. And, you know, the Uber driver was asking me what I do for a living. I said, I work in politics. I always try to avoid that conversation until they probe a little bit more. Instead, I was working for, you know, a candidate running for governor. And this Uber driver goes on to tell me about how he's never voted before. He's learned about Stacey. He's seen Stacey, whether on TV or at an event. And he has to vote for Stacey because he believes in Stacey and believes in what she'll do for the state. And I think that Stacey just has this ability to connect with voters in this authentic way about things that impact their lives on a daily basis in a way that a lot of politicians don't. So knocking on doors, texting voters, calling voters, the reception is very positive. And folks love Stacey in Georgia just as much as we do across the country.
Your point about like, I try to avoid telling people I work in politics. I'm the same way. If I tell people what I do, I'm like, oh, you know, I'm a school teacher, you know, or college professor. If they ask what I teach, I'm like, oh, it's a social science, right? I just don't even want to say the word politics because it can lead to so many tough conversations. And I guess I want to delve into that just to say I'm consistently surprised by Abrams' willingness to engage in really tough conversations across very broad divisions. And I'm wondering if that is part of, you know, what we might think of as her superpower in the context of Georgia, that she's not just talking, you know, she's not just singing to the choir or preaching to the choir, but willing to have some tough conversations with folks who might not seem like they'd ever be on her side.
Yes, definitely. I mean, I think she has those tough conversations. I think she will talk about some of the issues folks don't want to talk about. I think if we look back to the 2018 election, her message around her own struggles with student loan debt or her own struggles with folks in her family, she doesn't hide that, right? And that's the thing, like lots of folks, when she talks about it, because these are her lived experiences, as you know, it's so relatable. And I think a lot of times when we think about elected official, we don't think of them going through the same things that we've gone through, right? Or coming from a family like ours, or struggling with student loan debt or whatnot. So I think that just telling her story and telling everything that she's dealing with just gives folks another thing to connect with her on in a real way.
Absolutely. Delilah Agoa-Otohili is the field director for Stacey Abrams' 2018 gubernatorial campaign. And Delilah is now the executive director of the Texas Future Project. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Melissa. Thanks again for having me.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.